Look, the move fast and break things era is, well, it's officially getting taxed.
Heavily taxed.
Yeah. I mean, if you operate under this assumption that software just scales without any real world consequence, the events of this week should act as a massive wake up call for you.
Absolutely. We are basically watching the entire tech ecosystem just slam into a maturity wall.
Right. Because today, TechCrunch is reporting Uber just absorbed a near €1 billion fine for literally letting algorithms fire people.
Yeah, $825 million.
Insane. And meanwhile, corporate AI is actively choking on its own unstructured data, and Apple is trying to force cameras into your earbuds because the multimodal data pipeline is running dry.
It's all connected, too.
It really is. Like, if you are investing in or building or even just using modern platforms, you have to understand that the bottlenecks restricting growth, they've fundamentally shifted. It's no longer about compute power.
No, we have plenty of compute.
Exactly. The friction today is about data governance, macroeconomic pricing realities, and the actual legal foundations of algorithmic automation.
Yeah, the structural bill for the last decade of, you know, platform economics is finally coming due. And the friction we're tracking across all these disparate sectors, it all stems from the exact same core conflict.
Which is what?
You've got highly optimized, incredibly fast mathematical systems colliding with very messy, very slow human realities.
Right, right. So let's start with the most immediate threat to platform margins. TechCrunch broke this. The Dutch Data Protection Authority just hit Uber with an €825 million fine.
Which is, I mean, it's the second largest penalty ever issued under GDPR.
Under Europe's General Data Protection Regulation, yeah.
Yeah.
And the explicit target of this action is Uber's use of automated driver suspensions.
Right. And this strikes directly at the operational foundation of the entire gig economy.
Yeah.
I mean, companies like Uber, Deliveroo, Amazon Flex, their entire architecture relies on automated systems handling these vast decentralized workforces.
So they can't manage them manually.
Exactly. They ingest telemetry data, GPS routing, natural language processing on rider complaints, right? And when those inputs cross a very specific mathematical risk threshold, the algorithm just instantly suspends the account.
Boom, you're fired by a database.
Right. But by penalizing this specific automation, European regulators are drawing a very hard legal line here. They're saying software cannot unilaterally make employment-altering decisions without meaningful human oversight.
Okay, but meaningful human oversight is exactly the phrase that destroys the entire premise of infinite algorithmic scalability.
Yeah, it completely breaks it.
Like, if a gig platform operating in Europe has to suddenly introduce a human-in-the-loop review process for every single termination, the administrative overhead just skyrockets.
Oh, it goes through the roof.
It's like trying to manually audit a high-frequency training algorithm. The whole point of the system is that it operates faster than human perception, and at a scale humans literally cannot manage.
Right. The speed is the feature.
Exactly. So if you pause a gig network to ask a human adjudicator, you know, hey, should this driver be suspended?
Yeah.
You aren't running a decentralized logistics network anymore. You're running a traditional high overhead 1990s taxi dispatcher.
Yeah. And the logistical nightmare of compliance is precisely what changes the margin structure here. Look, you have millions of independent contractors. The historical gig model works because the administrative cost per worker is virtually zero.
Right.
If you now have to graft like a traditional corporate HR department onto that decentralized workforce just to review algorithmic flags, you introduce massive latency.
And a staggering labor cost.
Exactly. You have to pay vast farms of human reviewers to adjudicate decisions that yesterday cost you absolutely nothing to execute.
But look at the reality of how these platforms actually operate. If Uber has millions of drivers globally, how does a human-in-the-loop system not completely break their unit economics?
Well, it does.
I mean, they aren't going to hire expensive European HR reps to do this, right?
No, definitely not.
They will inevitably offshore the review process to low-cost labor markets. You're going to have click farms rapidly rubber stamping these algorithmic flags just to hit their service level agreements.
Yeah, click approve, click approve, click approve.
Right. So does that actually satisfy the GDPR's definition of meaningful? Or does this effectively force the gig economy to abandon its defining feature, which is algorithmic management entirely?
Well, see, that is the exact vulnerability regulators are targeting. If the human review is just a mechanical rubber stamp to clear a queue, the Dutch DPA is almost certainly going to view that as non-compliant.
Which means more fines.
Exactly. Triggering further fines. The regulators are sending a really clear signal to the market here. You cannot offshore your employment responsibilities to a machine learning model, and you can't offshore the compliance to a low-tier click farm.
So they're just trapped.
Basically.
Okay.
I mean, you need to watch the appeals process on this 825 million euro fine very closely. Because if this ruling stands, it sets a precedent that will trigger an absolute domino effect of labor-focused GDPR investigations.
Into basically every logistics network in the EU.
Every single one operating within the European Union, yeah.
Okay, so Uber is being aggressively punished for relying too heavily on software to manage its ecosystem.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, Apple just suffered a massive operational blunder that reveals exactly how they plan to feed their own algorithms using hardware.
Yeah, this was wild.
So Apple Insider and 9to5 Mac are reporting this super uncharacteristic leak inside the macOS Tahoe 26.7 release candidate.
Right, which is, I mean, Apple usually maintains stringent software compartmentalization.
The ultimate walled garden.
Yeah, exactly. So releasing a candidate that accidentally includes internal code references and a literal video detailing unannounced products, that is a severe breakdown in their deployment pipeline.
It essentially forced the company to acknowledge its hardware roadmap months in advance.
Yeah, they showed their hand way too early.
Right. But we need to look at the pricing realities exposed here before we even get to the strategic pivot. Mm. So 9to5 Mac reports Apple has drastically increased Mac prices across the board.
Right.
And this is explicitly tied to an ongoing global memory shortage. Furthermore, pre-release versions of a foldable device, the iPhone Ultra, are being tested externally.
Which everyone knew was coming eventually, but...
Right. But Apple Insider notes the broader standard iPhone lineup is also expected to see a price hike of roughly $100.
Yeah.
So consumer electronics manufacturers are clearly no longer absorbing the rising costs of advanced silicon and high bandwidth memory. They are passing those costs directly to the consumer.
The macroeconomic reality is that building advanced computational hardware is becoming exponentially more expensive.
Just structurally.
Right. Supply chain constraints on memory directly impact margin. So by raising the price floor on the iPhone and Mac lines, Apple is just aggressively protecting its margins at the expense of consumer accessibility.
They know you'll pay it.
Exactly.
But the critical piece of this macOS leak isn't the foldable phone, and it isn't the memory pricing. It's a radical shift in wearable computing.
This is the fascinating part.
Yeah. Apple Insider uncovered code referencing future AirPods Pro models equipped with integrated cameras.
Cameras in earbuds.
Yes. And these cameras are specifically designed to feed visual data directly to Siri.
Right. Which is a profound strategic shift regarding how Apple intends to ingest multimodal data.
How do you mean?
Well, to build a truly contextual AI-like, an agent that actually understands your environment and can proactively assist you, audio input is insufficient. Siri needs visual context.
It needs to see what you see.
Exactly. So by embedding cameras into AirPods, Apple is indicating they view audio devices, not smart glasses, as the primary bridge to multimodal AI interaction.
Okay, but look, putting a camera inside an earbud sounds like an absolute engineering nightmare.
Oh, it is. It's incredibly difficult.
You are talking about cramming an image signal processor, a lens, and an image sensor into a chassis with incredibly strict thermal constraints.
Right.
And it's powered by a tiny battery that already struggles to last a full workday just playing audio. Plus, consider the physics of the human head, right? Your ear is pointed sideways.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you have some extreme wide-angle lens with aggressive software-based distortion correction, the camera's just staring at a wall while you cook.
Yeah.
Or staring at your hair.
The hair problem is real.
Right. So are consumers actually going to tolerate the battery drain of their earbuds constantly looking at the world? Or is this just Apple desperately searching for a multimodal input device because they know we refuse to wear creepy smart glasses?
It is almost entirely about sidestepping the social friction of face-mounted cameras. I mean, the market has consistently rejected the glass hole effect, right?
Totally. The social awkwardness of interacting with someone wearing a camera on their face is just, it's too high.
Right. Apple is attempting a brutal engineering workaround here because they fundamentally understand human behavior. We already tolerate earbuds.
We leave them in for hours. Sometimes I forget they're even in.
Exactly. If they can solve the thermal and battery constraints, which is a big if they create a frictionless, socially acceptable visual data pipeline for their AI.
Right, because they desperately need the visual data to make the AI smart.
Yeah.
But the hardware required to gather that data is hitting immense physical and social bottlenecks.
Yeah.
And getting the data into the AI is actually where the entire ecosystem is breaking down across the board right now. Because the legal and logistical foundations of generative artificial intelligence are facing severe structural friction.
Yeah, we are seeing this bifurcate into two very distinct failure modes. You have legal friction on the consumer side and structural friction inside the enterprise.
Right, so let's hit the legal front first. Engadget and TechCrunch are reporting that Twitch and its parent company, Amazon, are facing a massive class action lawsuit for training generative AI models on streamers' content without consent.
Right, which pushes the copyright battlefield way past static text and images.
Exactly. We are now dealing with live streaming and video data.
Yeah.
If platforms cannot legally train on their own users' video content without explicit separate consent agreements, the pipeline of available multimodal training data narrows significantly.
It practically dries up.
Right. You have these companies deploying billions to build massive video generation models, and the actual raw material they require is just being legally locked away.
And the video data pipeline is so critical because video provides temporal and spatial reasoning that text just inherently lacks.
It teaches the AI how the real world works.
Mm-hmm.
Physics, time.
Exactly. If copyright law restricts access to that data, the development timeline for next-generation multimodal models slows down drastically.
Right.
But look, the legal battle is just the external problem. VentureBeat just published a report detailing how corporate AI agents are structurally failing from the inside out.
Because they are built on fragmented, messy internal documents.
Yes. VentureBeat notes that companies are aggressively attempting this thing called context engineering.
Right, generating chunks and embeddings for specific AI applications.
Yeah, but they are treating knowledge as an application-specific thing rather than a shared corporate asset.
Okay, let's break down the mechanics of why this actually fails. Companies are deploying EDRI retrieval augmented generation.
Right.
They basically take a powerful language model and let it search internal databases to answer employee questions.
Yeah, so the mechanics of ARAG rely on breaking internal documents down into data chunks, right, and converting them into embeddings.
Which are basically mathematical vectors representing semantic meaning.
Exactly. The system stores these in a vector database. So when an employee asks the AI a question, the system translates the prompt into a vector, finds the closest matching coordinates in the database, and pulls the text to generate an answer.
The failure point that VentureBeat highlights is the raw material itself.
The underlying data is trash.
Exactly. This is my favorite part. Think about this. If you chunk a JIRA ticket from the engineering team that says, you know, a software feature is delayed,
right,
and you also chunk a Salesforce CRM entry from the sales team that says the feature is live, both of those conflicting vectors sit in the exact same database.
Yeah.
The AI retrieves both. It lacks the hierarchical context to know which one is the ground truth, so it synthesizes a hallucinated, contradictory answer.
It has no idea who to trust.
This is like putting a Formula One engine inside a car, where the steering wheel and the brakes fundamentally disagree on what a stop sign is.
That's a great way to put it.
I mean, it's like running a high-speed search across a hard drive full of corrupted files.
Mm.
The search engine works perfectly. It retrieves the corrupted data in milliseconds, but the output is still absolute garbage, and the enterprise is blaming the AI for the corrupted files.
Right. ARAG does not fix organizational chaos. It weaponizes it.
Yeah.
Enterprise AI requires companies to perfectly standardize their internal data. And here's the reality. No major corporation has ever successfully accomplished that.
Ever.
Decades of legacy data, conflicting departmental definitions, unstructured document dumps. It's all paralyzing the AI deployment phase right now.
Which creates such a stark contrast with the venture capital perspective on AI right now. Because on a recent episode of the A16 show, Martin Casado outlined how the AI sector is experiencing this historic wealth unlock.
Yeah, I listened to that.
He argues AI has turned venture capital into a pure scale-up game, where tiny teams of like 20 people can productively deploy $2 billion into compute and turn it directly into capability and growth.
And look, Casado is right when he's analyzing the efficiency of capital deployment at the frontier model training layer.
Sure, sure.
At that layer, the relationship between capital, compute, and capability is incredibly tight. But, and this is the big but, that capital efficiency completely evaporates the moment the model hits the enterprise deployment layer.
Because it hits reality.
Exactly. You can deploy $2 billion into compute to train a highly capable model. But if you drop that model into an enterprise environment with broken data governance, it generates zero ROI.
Nothing.
The models are highly capable, but the corporate environment they are being asked to operate in is structurally broken.
Right. So while enterprise AI struggles to find a clean B2B data pipeline to justify its massive capital investments, the gaming industry is taking a much blunter approach to recouping its own ballooning costs.
Oh, they're just going straight for the wallet.
Yeah. They're simply forcing a captive audience to pay a higher premium. Seated in The Verge, both report Rockstar Games is rolling out an extended gameplay preview for Grand Theft Auto VI on August 27th.
Great.
And they're utilizing a novel 6-hour Netflix exclusivity window for the stream.
Which is fascinating on its own. But The Verge also notes the game itself is now delayed a full year, targeting November 19th, 2026.
Right, and this comes amid accusations of union busting after Rockstar fired more than 30 employees.
Yeah, the labor relations side is messy, but the macroeconomic story here is really the pricing structure. Pre-orders have opened for the digital-only release.
Okay, brace yourselves.
The standard edition is officially priced at $79.99, and the ultimate edition is $99.99 for PS5 and Xbox Series XS.
An $80 standard digital edition that completely shatters the $70 ceiling established at the start of this console generation.
It really does.
This is a watershed moment for the entertainment industry. AAA game development costs have just ballooned to hundreds of millions of dollars. You have massive teams, multi-year development cycles, complex global illumination rendering, massive QA bottlenecks.
It takes half a decade to make a game now.
Exactly. So Rockstar is leveraging the cultural monolith of the GTA franchise to enforce a price hike that will establish a new baseline for the entire industry.
Because Rockstar possesses unique leverage here, demand for GTA Z is highly inelastic.
People are going to buy it no matter what.
Exactly. So they can absorb the initial consumer backlash over an $80 price tag. And by doing so, they provide the top cover necessary for the rest of the AAA industry to follow suit.
Well, Rockstar did it.
Right. Once the market accepts paying $80 for a digital-only copy of GTA, other major publishers like EA, Ubisoft, they will inevitably adopt that exact same price floor to offset their own ballooning development costs.
Look, between an $80 digital-only game, a $100 price hike on iPhones, and Macs becoming more expensive due to memory shortages,
True.
We are watching the cost of digital living skyrocket.
It's compounding.
You really have to question the breaking point of the consumer here. At what point does the AAA gaming industry price itself out of the casual market?
Yeah.
Or is a franchise like GTA simply immune to basic economic gravity?
GTA is likely immune. It's an event, not just a game.
Right.
But the broader industry is walking a very dangerous line. When you combine the rising cost of the software with the rising cost of the hardware required to run it, the barrier to entry for high-end gaming is becoming incredibly steep.
It's a luxury hobby now.
Totally.
We also need to dissect the mechanics of that Netflix exclusivity tactic.
Oh, yeah.
Utilizing a streaming platform for a 6-hour exclusivity window on a gameplay preview is a highly calculated distribution play.
Extremely calculated. It really highlights how streaming platforms are leveraging their back-end infrastructure to host massive, simultaneous, interactive events.
All right, because Netflix is blurring the lines between passive video distribution and interactive gaming culture.
Yeah. They are utilizing the raw gravitational pull of GTA's AI to drive subscriber retention, proving that capturing the hype cycle of a major AAA release is just as valuable to their ecosystem as, you know, prestige television.
It's basically the new Super Bowl commercial slot.
Exactly.
So pulling all of these threads together, you can see the exact shape of the maturity wall the tech industry just hit.
Yeah, the honeymoon is over.
The era of consequence-free, frictionless scaling is completely dead.
It really is.
You have European regulators forcing gig platforms to graft human HR departments on algorithms, threatening their core unit economics. Apple and Rockstar are passing massive structural costs, whether from silicon shortages or massive development budgets, directly onto you, the consumer.
Yeah.
And enterprise AI, despite billions in VC funding, is just completely paralyzed by messy, historically disorganized corporate data.
It all comes down to friction. Friction is dictating the market right now.
Yeah.
You've got legal friction in copyright courts, supply chain friction in memory manufacturing, and structural friction deep inside the databases of Fortune 500 companies.
Which leaves you with this realization. If gig algorithms are too legally risky to actually fire a driver,
right,
and enterprise AI is too confused by internal JIRA tickets to actually be reliable, the real bottleneck for the next decade of technology isn't compute power.
No, it hasn't been for a while.
It isn't a lack of venture capital, and it isn't model limitations either.
Yeah.
The ultimate bottleneck is human bureaucracy.
That's exactly it.
The winner of this next era won't be the company that writes the most elegant code. It will be the company that figures out how to clean up the human chaos so the software can actually do its job.